Vigy was a revolutionary, an unconventional Islamic scholar. He did not have so much of a knowledge of the Quran, and he readily admitted it. But he had a tremendous grasp of modern political theory and international relations, and I benefited from the years of my association with him. His is the best, the most excellent critique that I've ever encountered from the pen of a Muslim scholar of the modern nation state. The Muslim Institute for Research and Planning backed the Iranian Revolution in Iran, the Islamic Revolution in Iran, and paid a heavy price for it. The Muslim Institute for Research and Planning in London has, in the last few years, moved in a strange direction, unique. I don't know whether you've heard about it. They've established the Muslim Parliament in London and attempted in the Muslim Parliament to create a forum where there can be a possibility for Islamic movements around the world to come and to express themselves. Unfortunately, it seems as though the Muslim Parliament is becoming more and more engaged with domestic British problems than the problems of the world of Islam as a whole. Now, to end our lecture, what is the basic, the most basic, authentic Islamic response that there can be to the abolition of the caliphate? Let me leave this with you, and you can analyze all the rest of the material that I've given to you. But this must be left with you. The basic, authentic Islamic response I have found is there in the Tanzeem Islami, it is there in the Murabi tomb. In it, you must have the concept of the Jama'at. You must have the concept of the Amir. You must have Bay'ah. And you must have non-participation in this electoral politics. You must be strong on the Quran. The Tanzeem is strong on the Quran. But you must also be very strong in your effort for the spiritual revolution, and the Murabi tomb is strong on that. Let me leave you with some of the words of the Prophet ﷺ. We may wish to call this the Hadith of Hudhayfah. He said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people used to ask Allah's messenger about good things, the good. But I used to ask him about evil, lest I be overtaken by evil. So I said, O messenger of Allah, we are living in ignorance, or we were living in ignorance, and in a very bad atmosphere. And then Allah brought us to this good, namely Islam. Will there be any evil after this good? He said, yes. I said, will there be any good after that evil? He replied, he said, yes, but it will be tainted, not pure. I asked, what will be its taint? He replied, there will be some people who will guide others, but not according to my guidance. You will approve of some of their deeds, but disapprove of others. I ask, will there be any evil after that good? He replied, this is Sahih Bukhari. He said, yes, there will be some people who will summon others, talked about our broom yesterday, the broom sweeping everybody into the garbage bin of history, and then all have been swept into the garbage bin of history, the broom itself is thrown into the garbage bin. That's modern Western civilization. He said there will be some people who will summon others at the gates of Jahannam, into which they will cast those who respond to them. I ask Allah's Messenger to describe them to us, the acolytes of the West within us. He said, they will be from our own people, and they will speak like us. I ask him, what command do you have to give to me if this happens in my time? This is the age that we're talking about. How do we live in this age? Listen to the reply of the Messenger of Allah. He said, you must hold on to the Jama'ah. That is, the community of Muslims who are organized as a Jama'ah. And you must hold on to the Imam, which is a synonym for Amir. I ask, if there is no Jama'ah and there is no Amir, then what should I do? He replied, then turn away from all those firaq, meaning misguided Muslim groups who have failed to constitute themselves as a Jama'ah with an Amir, whose authority is established on the basis of a pledge to obey him. He says, stay away from all of them, even if you have to bite the roots of a tree, the stump of a tree, until death overtakes you while you are in that state. Now that we have heard that hadith, none of us can plead ignorance. This is Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim. Let's take you to a second hadith. How the basic response, if we are not fulfilling this basic response, we are clearly in manifest misguidance. Number two, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the Prophet said, be with the Jama'ah and avoid firqa. For surely firqa here would be misguided Muslims who have failed to constitute themselves as the authentic Jama'ah. For surely Satan is with the one who remains alone, and he stays far away from true believers, meaning who constitute themselves as a Jama'ah. Whoever wishes to experience the fragrance, the khushboo of Jannah, must cling to the Jama'ah. Tirmidhi. Third hadith. Basic response for every single one of you and me to the abolition of the caliphate. Ibn Umar reported that Allah's Messenger said, the hand of Allah is on the Jama'ah. Whoever separates from the Jama'ah will be separated for us for dispatch to hell. Umar said, fourth hadith. Sounds unbelievable when we hear this. This is the man of whom the Prophet said, if there were to have been a Prophet after me, it would have been him. Listen to his words. There is no Islam without the Jama'ah. The Republic of Pakistan, or the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, and your passport does not constitute an authentic Jama'ah. There is no Islam without the Jama'ah. And there is no Jama'ah without as-sam'u wa ta'atu, the obligation to listen and to obey. Something very difficult for those who have had the dubious benefit of a modern Western secular education. There is no Islam without the Jama'ah. There is no Jama'ah without as-sam'u wa ta'atu, the obligation to hear and to obey. And there is no Jama'ah as a consequence without an Amir. Do you have a Jama'ah? Do you have an Amir? Harith al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah declared, I order you to adhere to five things. What did the Prophet say? What are these five things? Listen to the word of Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number one, I order you to adhere to the Jama'ah. Number two, I order you to adhere to as-sam'u, listening. Number three, I order you to adhere to at-ta'atu, obeying. Number four, I order you to adhere to hijra. You must struggle. No compromise in the struggle. And if the time ever comes when you can no longer continue the struggle in the place where you live, and rather than throw up the towel, you must pack your bag and move. But don't betray Islam. Number four, I order you to adhere to hijra. And number five, I order you to jihad in the way of Allah. Your life, your time, your health, your wealth, everything must be put to work in the struggle. I have come from Trinidad to Lahore to share that with you. Whoever departs from the Jama'ah by as much a distance as the span of a hand has removed himself from the guardianship of Islam, from his neck, except that he returns to the Jama'ah. Whoever calls with a call other than this, meaning the call of Jahiliyyah, such is the fire and the ashes of Jahannam. Even if he fasts, even if he performs salat and goes with beard and all of these things, he will still go to hell. Number five, Ma'awiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I have just two more ahadith and we will end. I'm leaving you with the word of the Messenger of Allah. Number five, Ma'awiyah said that the Prophet said, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whoever dies without an imam, meaning without being a member of a Jama'ah and accepting the authority of the Amir or the Imam of that Jama'ah, whoever dies without an Imam dies the death of Jahiliyyah. Number six, Ibn Umar said that the Prophet said, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whoever dies while separated from the Jama'ah die the death of Jahiliya. And now the last hadith. I saved it for the last because when Al-Azhar University responded to the abolition of the Ottoman Caliphate, the declaration that they issued had one hadith in it. Only one hadith, Sahih Muslim. They used this hadith to argue the case that they wanted to make. من مات ولم يرى في عنقه بيعة فقد مات ميتة جاهلية. Sahih Muslim. Whosoever died without bay'ah on his neck, without having given the pledge of obedience to an emir or imam, and as a consequence submitted himself to the obligation of having to obey, has died the death of jahiliyyah, said the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And so while we can reflect over the differing approaches to the political implications of the abolition of the caliphate, and while we can reflect over a tomorrow which is to come, when the caliphate will surely be restored, we have an immediate obligation, basic obligation, to ensure that we are within a jama'ah, authentic jama'ah, with an emir who must know the deen, and that we give a pledge to the emir to obey him. And having given your word, keep your word. Within that context, you can then pursue the rest of the struggle. Without this basic minimum obligation being fulfilled, you're only whistling in the wind. May Allah guide us to that which will please Him. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.
I have been asked for a precise question. I just wanted to ask one thing. How would you explain, sir, the success without joining the electoral process?
Success
without joining the electoral process. You have recommended that it should not be given any importance at all. And number two, as far as the wider perspective is concerned, do you think that success in economic field, technology field, will it be essential on a broader base? Success and unity of the Islamic world.
The only instance we have now of an Islamic movement achieving success, and I am not going to speak about Taliban, and don't ask me why. The only example we have of an Islamic movement achieving success in its struggle to bring about the supremacy of Islam in its territory is the example of Iran. The Islamic movement in Iran succeeded by standing outside of the system. Wherever the Islamic movement has stayed within the system, so far, even when they have succeeded in the polls, they've been denied power. Because the system is not meant to be used to allow Islam to gain control of territory. That's Algeria. The Jamaat Islami has 40 years behind it, what does it have to show for 40 years? A success in the electoral struggle. Number two, as days pass by one after the other, the electoral process becomes, it has more and more, what's that pretty old new word that you have? Bugboo. Bugboo in it. The less people in the society are the ones who come to the top. Like the scum over the iron ore or the gold ore, whatever it is, which is smelted, the scum comes to the top. The electoral process is like that. It produces the scum to be at the top and to take control. And so, through the electoral process around the world today, the world is today in the control, these are my words and I'm proud of them. The world today is under the control of the dregs of humanity, D-R-E-G-S, the dregs of humanity, the scum of humanity. It defies my imagination that this thinking process could be a road through which we can bring the truth. The second karmic question. How important it is that we secure some measure of success in the economic struggle? That is a very important question. I want to refer to the last word from Allah. No more after this. The fact that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, now please ponder over the words. The Prophet died before we could get an explanation from him about this revelation. How long do you need to get an explanation from him? A year? A week? A month? So long as he can talk, so long as he can come to the masjid, we can ask him. And so these words indicate to me that this revelation which came down must have come down shortly before he died. Two things here. Number one, it is the last word from Allah. And number two, it has come at the last possible time. And in that revelation, Allah directs attention to the economic factor and to the necessity of struggling for liberation from economic oppression. We have been sleeping these last 70 years since the abolition of the caliphate. We have no answer to give to our Lord when we stand before him for our failure. Riba has already taken control of the world. It's too late now to try to close the gate when the horses have all gone. All that we can do now is to try to prevent further damage from being done. And so the essence of the struggle for success in the Islamic revolution, the essence of the struggle is a grasp of the subject of the prohibition of riba. Grasp. But strangely, I have found no one will succeed in grasping this subject unless you are blessed with a light with which to see. Hazaro saal, let me finish this share. Hazaro saal, nargis apne benuri pe roti hai. Badi mushkil se hota hai chaman mein deedawar paida. We need that deedawar. You have indeed our, yeah, right here in Lahore, it is for you to recognize that.
Imran Hussain's presentation has been a moving, deep, profound and penetrating exercise in recent history of Muslim lands. In fact, recent history and current affairs rolled into one. He recently met Anwar Ibrahim, maybe 3 months ago, and his personal encounter with Anwar Ibrahim has been very revealing and informative for us. I will now request Professor Dr. Fawaz Ahmed Saeed to please come and express his response to the discourse. Professor Dr. Fawaz Ahmed Saeed.